Last week we had some cool temperatures. I can't say cold because I'm from Wisconsin and the temperatures have to fall into the minus 20s before I'll admit that it's cold outside. What do I do when it gets cold outside? I put on my long underwear and put another log on the fire. But what do trees do? Long underwear is not an option for them, and putting another log on the fire would go against the average tree's sensibilities. What I'd like to discuss today is how trees in Wisconsin have adapted to our cool and sometimes cold winter environment. Interestingly, the fossil record shows that early tree life on Earth did not have to deal with freezing temperatures. The Earth was a much warmer place about 385 million years ago when the first forests formed. There was no ice to be found, so no strategies were needed to deal with freezing temperatures. Moving ahead in time, the Earth began to cool, so trees at higher latitudes and altitudes needed to evolve strategies to cope with freezing temperatures. There are two main areas where freezing temperatures cause problems for trees: in the leaves and in the stems. First, we've all seen what happens to plant leaves when they freeze. Think of the damage a late spring frost will do to your garden plants, or that bunch of lettuce that gets pushed too far back into the refrigerator. Freezing temperatures will cause the leaves to wilt and turn black. There's a great deal of water in plants. The water exists inside the plant cells and in the spaces between the plant cells. When the temperature falls, two things can happen. First, the water inside the plant cells can freeze, forming ice crystals. The freezing and expanding ice crystals rupture the cell walls, destroying the plant tissues. Second, the water between the plant cells can freeze, drawing water out of the cells and severely dehydrating the cells. Both are bad and both damage the plant. The second problem that occurs is in the tree's stem during freezing temperatures. Trees move water up the stem through a collection of hollow cells called vessels in deciduous trees and tracheids in needled trees. Water moves up the tree from the roots to the main stem, to the branches, and finally to the leaves. The capillary force in the narrow tube-like cells helps counteract the force of gravity pulling down on the water column. Positive pressure in the root system pushes on the water column, and evaporation in the leaves pulls on the water column. When water freezes in these transport cells, the ice does not cause damage to the strong wood cells. However, gases dissolved in the water form tiny bubbles in the ice. When the ice melts, the gas bubbles combine to form embolisms in the water column, disrupting the water flow. So how do trees in Wisconsin deal with these two issues? Freezing in the leaves and embolisms in the stems? Let's talk about leaves first. Most Wisconsin trees don't have leaves during the winter. Deciduous broadleaf trees, like our oaks and maples, lose their leaves in the fall and go dormant in the winter. This prevents leaf tissue damage caused by freezing. Of course, trees can be impacted by late spring frosts. Their young leaves can freeze, causing damage. This is a stress on the tree since it may have to devote a great deal of energy to reestablish new leaves. What about the other trees in Wisconsin, the needled trees? Pines, spruces, and firs hold onto their needles during the winter. These needled trees produce a type of antifreeze. By increasing the sugar content in their needles, they lower the freezing point of water. Remember back to high school chemistry. When you add a solute, like sugar, to a solvent, like water, you lower the freezing point of the solvent. This is why we salt our roads in the winter. The salt, the solute, lowers the freezing point of water, the solvent, well below 32 degrees Fahrenheit, lowering the freezing point to near 0 degrees Fahrenheit. Similarly, by increasing the sugar content in the needles, the freezing point is lowered and the ice crystals will not form. To address the second problem of gas bubbles in the water conducting cells, trees in cold climates have evolved with much narrower conducting cells, small diameter tracheids in softwoods and small diameter vessels in hardwoods. If you look at tree species in tropical climates, they have extremely large diameter vessels, which can be 3 or 4 times larger than the vessels in their cold climate cousins. Through the magic of physics, fewer gas bubbles form in narrow vessels, limiting disruptions to the water column when the ice melts. Some of our cold climate trees, like red oak, even hedge their bets by forming both large and small vessels in the same tree. They can transport water quickly in the growing season, yet also preserve some vessels that can function after freezing. Frost cracks are one final issue that may impact trees in cold climates. If you've ever been out in the forest on a very cold day, you may have heard a loud pop or even a bang. On sunny days in the winter, bark will warm up, causing the cells to expand in the bark and in the wood directly below the bark. When the sun sets or a cloud covers the sun, temperatures drop quickly, causing the bark and the adjacent wood to cool and contract. The wood in the center of the tree does not cool as quickly, causing the bark and the outer wood to split as it shrinks. Frost cracks may first appear on very young trees that have not developed a thick layer of bark. The sunny side of the trees are most susceptible to frost cracks. Once damaged, the injured area can split back open on very cold winter days. So even with the best cold weather adaptive strategies, trees can't win every battle against the cold. Your challenge this week is to put on your long underwear and get out into the forest. You will appreciate that log on the fire even more after a brisk winter hike. For Field Notes, this is Scott Bovey from the University of Wisconsin-Madison's Kemp Natural Resources Station.